so that's good. So now we're holding a Chavetz Chaim day 35. We're speaking now about lectures. I don't want anybody to say anything bad about my shiur, so we're going to talk about lectures. If one were to turn up. Fine. If one were to conduct an exit poll at the end of a lecture, in English, basically say like this: when he finished a shiur, ask a bunch of guys what they think. What do you think about the shiur? So one guy will say, "Oh, I loved it. It was a great shiur. It was very." Another guy would say, "You know, I don't know, somebody knows. You know, I heard better shiur." Another guy would say, "Oh wow, you know, the speaker was too enthusiastic for me." And I say, "No, he was too dull for me." So Chavetz Chaim says, "Usser, it's not allowed to tell someone how you like the shiur, like to speak about a shiur when you walk out of a shiur. Why?" So he says, "Lashon hara, there's no purpose for it. There's no constructive purpose. Why? Because for one person, what could be a very deep shiur, for the next person could be very shallow. It's just like, you know, he's just starting out. For him, it was a great shiur. For one person, he thinks, oh, the speaker was enthusiastic. So the other person will think, oh, he's for his level of enthusiasm. He's like, oh, he was very dull." There's no real, you can't say that there's a specific purpose in telling a guy said, "How was this year?" Say, "Oh, it was this, it was that." Because the other person could have different expectations, different requirements of what the other person needs. Each person is looking for something else.
But if you're learning to give a shiur, how can you get feedback?
Yes, you could try that. You could ask somebody what type of shiur. You could ask somebody what type of shiur. Say, is it more this type, more that type? You're not asking a guy, was it a good shiur? If you ask a guy, was it a good shiur?
For me.
So a person can say, "For me, I like it for this and this reason." But you're not saying it's a good shiur. You can say, "Oh, I like this part about it." Now, it doesn't mean that you have to like it. Because you say,
would a better question be, "What does it need? How is the presentation of the shiur? What do I need to work on?" Especially if you're asking
speaker,
for feedback.
That's the speaker. It's not the speaker. Right. We're not talking about the speaker.
If you're the one giving a shiur, and you need feedback because it's the first time you've given a shiur.
We're talking about two people.
Let's say we walk out of the shiur and you ask me how the shiur was. You put me in a position where I can either answer you positively or negatively, or in between, and you want to understand whether I meant positive or negative. And therefore, it leaves Lashon Hara up in the air.
You don't answer at all.
Or say, "I don't say, well, you," or you can say, I enjoyed the shiur. Don't talk about the shiur. Meaning, like what the Yitzchak said, to say, "I enjoyed it, it was good for me," whatever. But don't say anything negative, because then
also, you're focusing on yourself and your experience rather than the Magid Shir.
Exactly.
I loved it.
Maybe say positive.
Even positive, because even to say, hey, he's saying here that you shouldn't speak, but he will have a time said you shouldn't even speak positive, because people always come and say, "Yeah, but I didn't like it, but this is wrong and that's wrong."
You're opening place.
Yeah. He says, even then, have a time say you shouldn't talk about it. When you walk out of a shir, you shouldn't talk about a shir, because also, it could cause much damage to lecturer's reputation. So basically, it's not. You could say a person could talk about themselves. There's both Rabbi Yosef and Zayn. They're both hitting together in the ear, crossing. Both Rabbi Yosef from both sides come and saying, "Speak about yourself. Speak about yourself. I enjoyed the shiur. I liked it. Yeah, I was this." You speak about yourself. I enjoyed it. Don't talk about the shiur itself. So that could constitute Lashon Hara. Very possibly can lead to Lashon Hara. The Chavetz Chaim is not telling us we should not have our own opinions, and that we must enjoy every lecture we hear. What he's saying is we're not allowed to verbalize our negative opinions without a constructive purpose. Everybody.
That was the worst.
The worst. That's the best.
That's the best. Ten. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Fine. Now we're holding the choir. That's 9A.
That's
9A.
Which line?
The bottom. Which line? You also know which line?
Yes. Aleph, right?
Yes. Five lines from the bottom. Got it, Reverend? I'm testing with Aleph. 5 lines from the bottom. You lost the last page of the article. Or the article's been on the last page. Okay. Fine. So, Reverend, Reverend. So now, what happened yesterday? Yesterday we had a machlok because our argument between Reverend. One day we'll get back our board, maybe. Hashem left.
One day. It just needs to be nailed up.
Permit out with the city.
Yeah, well, drill it up. We'll figure it out. One of these days we'll get it. Drilled in. I mean, bring your gun, maybe. We'll shoot the screws in.
No, actually, I think you need dead bolts in that.
I don't know what we need.
Anchor bolts.
Anchor bolts. Hashem will help us. Fine. So what happened yesterday? We had a machlokes between Rava and Rav Chisda. What's the big question? in a case where I thought something was allowed. I thought you were allowed to kill people. And then it comes out you can't kill people. Right? Do we say that your lack of knowledge is your problem? You should have went to school and figured it out. And therefore, you're responsible. Or you're not responsible. Or another example. Another example is like this. Another example is the following. Let's say a guy thought he's shooting an animal. Lamaisi shot a person. So do we say, Rebbe says, you should have been worried, you should have delved into the matter deeper, you should have put on your, you know, get your binoculars. But don't shoot until you're clear. Look into the situation better. Delve into the matter deeper. So you're held responsible. Because says, no, you're not held responsible. Another example, which the Gemara is going to bring down. Let's say, someone, Avimelech, he takes a lady, right? He takes a woman, and he didn't know she was married. Do you say, you should have first investigated if she was married? So Rebbe said, yeah, it's your fault. You should investigate it first if she's married. So therefore, he did it. Avimelech did it, and it's his fault. He did, but not in a nice way. The way he did it. Yeah, he's like, who's this to what?
Is this to
Yeah, he's like, no, you're sure. That's Avimelech. He was eating Gemara. That's what he did. Basically, so we'll see soon. So basically, if I could have delved into that matter deeper, and I didn't delve into the matter deeper, am I held responsible or not responsible? Right? That's the Gemara's question. So Rebbe holds, if you thought something was allowed, and it's not allowed, you're held responsible. You should have delved deeper into the matter. That's Rebbe's Shita. And whatever scenario it is, Rebbe Chisda's no. If you didn't know, you didn't know. You're on it, you didn't know. It's not your responsibility. We're not going to hold you accountable that you should have looked into the matter deeper. You're honest and you're off the hook. That's the argument between Rebbe and Rebbe Chisda. What do you say, Chanan?
That's hard to price.
That was Rebbe and Rebbe Chisda, which is really our sugi brought it in, but that's Rebbe and Rebbe Chisda. That's the argument in Shas, which we used earlier to explain the Brisa. Two different ways how to explain the Brisa. But what the Gemara is going into right now is specifically focusing on the argument of Rebbe and Rebbe Chisda. Right? We were done with the Brisa for now. Right, that was yesterday, so now we're going further. To review it, but for now, good. So Rebbe holds, if you could have dealt with that matter deeper, you didn't, you're responsible. It's your fault. Rebbe Chisda, no, it's not your fault. That's Rebbe Chisda. So now the Gemara is going to have a question on Rebbe Chisda. So let's see, now the Gemara, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 lines from the back. The third way on the line. Shlomo, you got it? 5 lines from the bottom. Eisvei Rav Chisda is a question. Rav asked the question. Rav Chisda to Rav Chisda. He said, I have a question against you. I have a question according to your opinion that you say that when a person thought it was allowed, then and they didn't know, they're off the hook. What does the pasuk say by Avimelech? What does the pasuk say by Avimelech? What happened? Avimelech took Avraham Avinu's wife, Sarah. Took his wife. Have fun. So what happened to Hashem? Hashem was nice to Hashem. Came to him in a dream before he did anything to her. Hashem came to him in a dream. What did Hashem tell him in the dream? Hinecha meis, behold, you're going to die. Al ha'isha on the woman, meaning on the fact that you took the woman. Al ha'isha asher lukachta, which you took. That's Hashem told him. You're going to die. Right? Now let's try to think for a minute. What was the case of Avimelech? It seems like Avraham Avinu said to his sister, what? That seems like it's a scenario where he didn't know better. He should. But it's a case of Amr Mutter. He thought it was allowed. And it wasn't allowed. But what did Hashem tell him? Hashem told him, you're going to get killed. So what do we see? Yeah. We see like Rava. Even in a case where you thought it was allowed, if it wasn't allowed, you're still held accountable. Like, I mean, that's the halacha.
But he said it after the fact. He didn't say it after
Who said it after the fact?
Hashem told him.
No, it was before. He didn't do anything to her. It was before. Hashem came to him in a dream. Hashem came to him in a dream and told him, He was sleeping. Hashem told him, "You," it says,
and he didn't take her.
Fine. But he said, "If you take her," Hashem is telling him, "If you would take her, you're going to be chayim misa." That's what Hashem is telling him. You are behold, meaning basically, if you're going to continue with your action, you're a dead man. Hashem told him, yeah. "Behold, you're going to die because of the fact that of this lady which you took." That's what Hashem told him. Right? Why? What's the puzzle? The whole puzzle. Read the puzzle in the fancy Gemara that says. If you look at the pasuk, it says we're going to be by pasuk Kimmel, the pasuk it says. Hashem created him a melech b'chalom alai in a dream. The Yemeli told him, "Hinra meis, we're only going to die ala isha because of the woman asher lakach which you took. The Hebrew ulas spouse, she's a married woman. Don't take her. Fine. So what do we see? It's a case of Omer Mutter. He thought he's allowed to take her, and he did. He should have delved into the matter deeper. Right? The Gemara is going to ask. He did delve into the matter, but it wasn't really good the way he did it. Was it so proper the way he did it? Basically, he told him, you know, tell me if she's your sister, or I'm going to kill you. So he said,
well, see normally in that society, if he told him that it was his wife, they would kill him.
Right. So
and then, oh, she's a widow.
Right. So therefore, Rav Vito held, that's why he said, this is what I was going to say. So basically, you should have dealt with the matter deeper without it, like basically putting a gun to Rav Vito's head. You should have figured it out in a better way. So it seems like, what's Hashem telling him? You're a chayim. He said, my love, isn't it? Bidei Adam. Isn't it that you deserve the death penalty by a court in this world? That's the Gemara's question. My love. Good, you gotta read it. My love. Bidei Adam. Isn't it Bidei Adam that the courts down here hold a person responsible for not delving into that matter deeper? So we see like Rava. There's a question on Rav Chista. That was the argument between Rava and Rav Chista. There's a question on Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, if you think something's allowed, it's not allowed, you're off to him. Rava said, no, you get killed. This court down here will hold you responsible. So Rabbi asked, Rav Chista, I have a pasuk that proves my point. And my answer is like, no. Bidei Shemayim. We're just telling you you're held responsible in Shemayim. In this world, we only hold you responsible when you did it on purpose. If you thought you were allowed to do it, no, in this world, the courts can't do anything to you. In Shemayim, they can look at your motive, they'll check into you, and they'll figure out the whole story, they can punish you. But in this world, the courts aren't strong enough to punish you. If you tell them you thought it was allowed, we can't do anything to you. That's why it's there. See, even by Avimelech, Hashem wasn't telling him that you deserve to get killed by a court down here. He's telling him you deserve to be taken care of by Shemayim. But of course, a court down here can't take care of a person in the case of Omer Mutter. They thought it was allowed. The court can't say, fine, if you thought it was allowed, we can't do anything to you. So that's the Gemara's answer. It's not a question on. You could say it's also talking about Bidei Shemayim.
Since the court's answer in proof of
It's saying it could be talking about Bidei Shemayim. It's telling you it's not actually a proof, but it's fending for a Chista. Okay. Yeah.
So it's bouncing back.
Yes, fine. It's not a question of Rabbi, because I could tell you. The Gemara is saying, my love, I have to say it's talking about Bidei Adam. The Gemara is saying, no, it's not necessary. I could tell you it's Bidei Shemayim. The Gemara is not proving either way. We're just saying, you can't prove to me that it's a proof to Rabbi. Because I could tell you, the Chista could come back and tell you it's referring to the best in the Shemayim.
Therefore, be honest.
And therefore, yeah, you're really honest in this world. This best man down here looks at you with the glasses, the lens of the blindness. That's the Gemara wants to say now. Because it says you can't bring the solid, concrete proof against me with that pasuk. It could go my way also. And he said, the Gemara says, they could not mean. I can also make a diuk. If I look into the words, I can find it in the words of the pasuk also. What did the pasuk say? What does Hashem tell us? Mechato li. I'm going to hold you back from sinning to me. Right? So what do you want to say? Hashem is considering this a sin between you and him in Shemayim. The courts down here don't have to deal with this issue. If you didn't know better, the courts down here can't. The courts down here don't have to deal with you. They can't help you that you're considered honest. That's the Gemara's answer.
So it's still supporting the Chista. This line right here. That's written.
So we want to say now we want to bring a proof to a Chista. Yeah. But the Gemara's not going to like this proof. We're going to end it with no proof, but the Gemara's not going to like this proof. Because we're only going to have three lines at the bottom. Mar said, Tamei, three lines at the bottom. Third word on the line. Ultamei. And according to your reasoning, that when the Torah says, Mechato li, it's referring only to Bidei Shemayim, you're only responsible in Shemayim. What about we have a pasuk? That Yosef pulled Potiphar. Mechatazi lalukim. What did Yosef tell Potiphar? That, right, the whole story, Yosef and Potiphar. That she was trying to convince Yosef to be with her. What did Yosef tell her? He told her, how could I be with you? I'm going to sin to God. So the Gemara says, Lalukim, to Lala Adam. Is he only sinning to Hashem and not to a person? He's also sinning to Potiphar, to her husband. So why does it say over there that it's considered that he's doing the Lalukim? Elo, rather, Dinay Masr La'adam. Even though a person sins to Hashem, the judgment is still put in this world, in the courts in this world. Even when someone does Averit Hashem, right? Even if Yosef Tzadik would have been with Potiphera, right? He's sitting to Hashem, but of course, really vested down here, also judging him. So Hachanam here also, in the case of Avimelech, Dina Masala Adam, even though Hashem told him that you're sinning to me, it could also be the case is that Hashem will still let the course down here deal with it. Meaning, Rav Chisda wanted to say, if you think it's, remember here, Rav Chisda wanted to say, if you think it's you're allowed to do it, you do it, you're honest. How do I know? Where did I see it from? So Avimelech, Hashem told Avimelech, you're sinning to me. Right, what do you mean you're sinning to me? I mean, it's not an issue with this court. It's only an issue with me, not with everybody else. Only issue with me. Good? That's Hashem told Elam. That's what he was referring to what they're saying. It's only an issue with Hashem, and not with the courts down here. The Gemara is saying it's not true. It means really an issue with Hashem. But also the courts down here deal with you. It's both. Meaning when the public says you're sitting to Hashem, it doesn't mean that therefore the courts down here don't deal with you. It means also they deal with you. Means
if Chazal give you sin, that's sin by Yosef. By Yosef, for sure would have been if he would have sinned the Potiphar, for sure they would have
sinned also
here in this world.
Hamek, because he for sure knew.
Yeah.
So here also, Hachanam, here also, when it says Chatoli by Avimelech, even though Hashem told him you're sinning to me, of course it also means the course down here will take care of you. That's the where I say Hachanami, Dina Masala Adam. So we don't have a proof either way. Meaning we don't have a proof to Rav or to Rav Chisda in this pasuk. But it comes out that it's not a solid proof to Rav Chisda either. Again, Rav Chisda wanted to say, what does the pasuk say? Hashem told me you're sinning to me. What does that mean? The courts down here can't punish you. If you thought something was allowed, the courts down here can't punish you. If you thought this lady wasn't married, then the courts down here can't punish you for being with a married woman. Because you didn't know. That's what Rav Chisda wants to say. Right? And he proves it for the pasuk. Hashem told Avimelech, you sinned to me. Meaning it's between me and you, this sin. The courts down here can't punish you. That's like Rav Chisda. Good? Why say it's not necessarily true? Even though the pasuk says Hashem said you're sinning to me, doesn't mean the courts down here can't punish you also. We thought originally Hashem said you sinned to me, it's only an issue with you and me, and not the courts. Why say it's not true? It could be. Even when it says "v'chatazi lo kibi sin ta'ashem," it's the courts down here still have the right to punish you. That's what I say. So it could be in the case where a person does a sin they did not know was wrong, the courts down here could also punish you. That's the one I want to say. Now. That's the one I want to say from Anu.
Not to take out of Miller's side or anything. Sure, I wouldn't want to do that. But I mean, the man was told. This is my wife. And we know the reason why, because he was afraid he'd be killed if he didn't say that. To inquire further, are you sure she's your sister, not your wife? He most likely would have said, I'm sure.
Yeah, but the problem
is... It wasn't like he could send a fax off to his home and say, is this guy really married? Is this in the city hall and see if they send you a paper? I mean...
Usually when you're coming to the city, they ask you if you have something to eat or drink.
But here in their town, it was known, the first thing they would ask you, is this your wife or is this your sister?
Oh, well, yeah, I know that.
So they,
yeah, but the problem is the question.
How do you check?
No, but the problem is the question. The problem is the question. You shouldn't have asked. That was the problem. Over here, the problem is not you should have inquired further, because you're right. The Avraham Avinu still would have said it's my sister.
Yeah.
The problem is you asked. That was the problem. The problem is that you asked. That was your issue. That's what I was going to say later. The problem is that he asked. That's what Farsha was saying. You shouldn't have asked. Yep. It's your fault for asking, because you know if you're going to ask the guy, he's going to be pressured to answer his sister. So your mess up was from asking him. That's the thing what I was going to say. So you shouldn't have asked. If your talent is your thing, if you tell him it's his wife, he's just going to shoot him. So by you asking already, he's getting yourself into trouble. By you asking him, it's pushing him in the corner to say it's his sister. And then you make him say it's his sister. So then, of course, he's going to say it's his sister. You shouldn't have asked.
Well, sure, but take that against the other thing we're trying to prove it on, the fact that somebody does something they don't know is wrong. They show something that I thought
was the rabbi said,
nobody told you?
Because the rabbi says you should have known it's wrong, that you shouldn't ask someone if it's their wife when they come to the city. That's what's wrong. That's the rabbi said. It's why later. Right? The rabbi said, how's that connected to this Gemara? He's saying you should know, you should learn, just like you should learn, don't shoot somebody, you should also learn, don't ask him when a guy comes to the town, don't ask this to your wife.
Why are you asking? Basically, asking because of their...
Yeah, because of their time, so you shouldn't ask them. So that's what God told you. You should have learned, you're mad, you shouldn't ask. Same way you should learn, don't shoot a guy. It's basically, don't ask the guy about his wife. Don't ask the guy about his lady. That's also their offense. That sounds crazy to us, but that's what it means.
A better example of not knowing is the example of the our cousins, the Arabs, who are taught in Sesame Street, in kindergarten, in first grade, that it's honorable to be a suicide bomber.
The tiger that the Arabs have is that's the number one tiger. They just
fine.
That's the tiger number one. You know that?
Fine, let's continue the Gemara. Let's focus on the Gemara. Fine. So again, so that was fun. So right now we're holding with the buying rubber. Eisvei by the rubber. Let's do two lines to the bottom of the one. Eisvei by the rubber. Ready? Are you with us?
Yeah.
Two lines to the bottom. Actually, we didn't see Rashi.
Rashi.
Like 10 lines to the bottom in Rashi. We said that Avimelech, Hashem told him that you deserve to get killed. So we said, my love, isn't it? Be they other, you deserve to get killed, be they other. So this is a case of Omer Moshe. He thought it was allowed. Hayah. Kesaksi hold, he thought, Achayz Avrami, she's the sister of Avraham Avinu. That's why I said no. Hakodabi is also, he's responsible from the courts down here. Right? Like we said by Yitzhak Tzadik, Rashi brings down the Pasuk, Kim, Lela Adam. But like Yedeya, Yitzhak Tzadik, he knew, Yitzhak Tzadik knew she Ashes Ish. Yitzhak Tzadik knew in that story she was Ashes Ish. So you tell you what, he's only sinning to Hashem and not to her husband. He knew she was Ashes Ish. So it must be, even though we say you're sinning to Hashem, it could also mean that the courts down here still have a right to take care of you and do what they have to do. Fine. Let's see now two lines to the bottom. Eisvei Abaye L'Rava Abaye, that's the question from Rava. Here we have a pasuk. This is again going back onto the story of Avimelech. What happened by Avimelech? Avimelech told Hashem, why do you want to kill me? I'm innocent. If you have the Gemara, the Pesukim on the side, it says, the fancy Gemara, the pasuk Vav on the side says, Avimelech lo yikarav elav. Avimelech didn't come close to her. Vayemi said, Hashem, a goy, a nation, Gam Tzadik, which is ultra righteous. How are you? You're going to kill me? I'm a righteous person. Right? I'm righteous. What did I do wrong? I thought it was a sister. What did I do wrong? So, what do we see here? And it seems, did Hashem kill Avimelech?
No.
Hashem didn't kill him. So, what does it seem? It seems like he was right.
He's
a son. It seems like he was a son. So it seems like I'm a mutter. It's fine, you're honest, you see, like Rav Chista. What did Malach tell Hashem? Hashem said, I'm going to kill you. He said, I didn't know. So Hashem said, fine. And Hashem seems to say, Hashem said, he didn't kill him. So it seems that if you didn't know better, if you did something wrong, you don't get killed. It seems that, what's the goal, right? It seems you don't get killed. It seems that what's the goal was right. Other Mutter, the honest, he's like Rav Chista. If you think you're allowed, you're off the hook. That's what it seems like. So Hashem didn't kill him, Malach. Rav said, no, look at Hashem's answer to him. It's true Hashem didn't kill him, but it doesn't sound like he was so right. Look at the answer when Hashem answered it. Hashem covered him the hadir. Look over there. Over there, it's like Hashem mahadir, like Hashem was chayjar onto him. What Hashem answered back to him? Which is really the next pasuk in the Gemara. The next pasuk. What Hashem tell him? Va'ata now. Fine, right? You tell me story now. Go return it. Va'ata now. Hashem ishus ish. Return this woman, king of you, because she is a
wife of
a navi. Then why is a simple question? That makes sense. Hashem telling, by the way, return this married woman. You know why you should return it? Because she's your wife of a navi. And why? It's a simple question. What does the pasuk mean? Right? What does the pasuk say? Test of it base. H is navi who? If she's the wife of a navi. H is navi. Who is the other? That one you have to return? The law of navi. She's not, if he's not a navi, like you don't have to return her? Of course you have to return her. What's the pasuk trying to say? Hashem told Avimelech, return her because she's the wife of a navi. And if she wasn't the wife of an Avi? Other than the darkness. So what's Hashem saying? Elo, the Amr of Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Like Rav Shmuel, the Amr of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Shmuel bar Nachmeni, he said on the third line, the Gemara, the Amr of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, or Rav Yohanan's son, Hachi Kamal, this is what Hashem told him. Va'ata and now Hashva Ezezesh. Come. First of all, now go return the lady. Come. Mekamakam, in any case, I don't care if she's a Navi, she's not a Navi. Go return the lady, Mekamakam. Automatically, the other scenario is go return. Udika, Amadan, this that you asked of me, Hagoyikam Tzadik Tarui, this is a nation that's also righteous. Are you going to kill him? And are you going to kill me even though I'm righteous? I halu Hamar, Hachaisi, but he told me it's his sister, Megoymer, etc. Hashem told him back, Navi. Which the part of it means, he was a smart man. When he says Navi, Rabbi, Navi a lot of times could mean also like a smart man. He was a smart man. And he learned from you to say the wrong answer. He answered wrong because you basically told him it's your sister, so he knew already what you were getting at from your question. So you're telling me, how should I know? Saying, no, you asked the wrong question. He understood from your question, your intentions. Because what? Let's say a guest comes to the town. What are you supposed to do?
Well,
Al iskei achilu shtiya shayli. On the whereabouts, on the dealings of his food and drink, you should ask him. As a guy, you need something place to eat. You need to drink something. That's just what they ask a new guy who comes to town. Klum shayli, I say ish the chazu achazu. You're not supposed to ask the guy, is this your wife or is this your sister? So by you asking the question, he already knew you were going to kill him. So that's why he gave the wrong answer. But it's your fault for asking. You're saying, I'm an oinus, what should I do? You're not an oinus. But you asking already, that's where you went wrong. That's the pshat. Which means, you should have known not to ask. That's what the... That's the problem. But since you asked already, therefore, since you asked, you're amazing, you're asking. So the argument with me, you didn't know you're not supposed to ask, right? In this case, what didn't they know? He thought it's a very nice thing. You're supposed to ask him when he comes to town. Meet proper mitzvahs. Make sure it's not his wife first. Is this your wife? Is this your sister? And that's the right thing to do. It's what he was told when he grew up. But really, he didn't learn the right with the real derech. Real derech is don't ask a guy. It's his wife. What's the difference? Don't start asking. Ask him if you need a place to eat, a place to drink. If you want to make shidduchim, let the guy stay a few days and try to find out about all your shidduch proposals. But now, so you're actually your shidduchim right now. Just so that was it. So that's the thing. That's what Farshim was saying. So again, we have a case of Amir Mutar. Rabbi Melech thought you're supposed to ask people about the lady they're walking with. Is this your wife, by the way? Is this your sister? And that was wrong. You're not supposed to ask. So he thought, so we have a case here of Amir Mutar. He thought it's Mutar to ask the man. He was wrong. And we see Hashem considered him to be amazing.
Is that because he's not supposed to ask?
That's what the question said.
Because he's the king, is Rabbi Melech, and by asking, there's no choice on the matter.
No, he wasn't.
He sent the people to ask. He didn't ask. The people asked. Then they saw she was beautiful, so they told her about her.
Why did they anyway?
No, they were asking for themselves. Rashi said they said she's so beautiful, so she should go to the king. They really were asking for themselves. They said
she should go to the king.
Originally, they asked for themselves. It sounds like they were asking.
A beautiful single woman walks in and she go to the king.
That's it. They saw it after. That's what it sounds like. I mean, they were
bringing a present to the king. Here.
They were trying. It sounded like they were asking even for themselves. But either way, they asked. I mean, I'm not going to accent them there. They asked. They decided to be. They asked her. Well, I say asked. They should also learn derech chayim. So Rabbi Melech should also understood. He writes, look, because they asked for him, but still, he's not responsible. And this, they should have known better. Something here, you should have known better. Figure that there's something in derech chayim. You should have known better.
He thought he was being careful by inquiring, and actually turns around as he's being punished by.
Nachol, because that's what. Because then you're pushing the guy against the wall. You're asking, is pitting a guy against the wall to take my sister? And you're going to take her. So you didn't get. You're asking.
He's not going to get him off the hook. Actually, is because he's the king.
I don't say anything anyway, because
a little person wouldn't be able to take
it. That's why he was punished.
No, sound like that was a minute. Well, sound like that was
a minute of the.
That's just it, because that's the whole
guy. That's what Rashi said, because they were taking it to the king.
No, it says after. Rashi when the Chumash says after, he said she's beautiful, so we should give her to the king. It said they stopped, they asked. The guy came to the city, they asked. That's what Chumash said. She came to the city, and they said, what's your story? They started asking. And then they said, oh, Ash, so beautiful, give her to the king. That's. Fine. So what's this Gemara coming out? So coming out. A case of Amir Mutar. If one wants to prove anything like Rava, at the end of the day, we want to prove like Rava. That a person that thought something was Mutar, really, they thought it was the right thing to do, it was the wrong thing to do. You're amazing. You come at that, you really held to be amazing. That's the Gemara's Maskana. So again, we wanted to know if someone thinks something's a lab, it's not a lab. Are they amazing or are they honest? So the Gemara seems to want to prove from, at the end of the Gemara that you're held accountable. Because Avi Melech was held accountable for not learning the right derech chayim. That's what the first one wanted to say the Peshat of Tzkumar. Which is Mashma from Rashi. They say Rashi sounds like this. Fine, let's go back to Rashi. On Daf Tes Amud Aleph. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, like 8 lines to the bottom. Hagoy, Gatzad, Tarag, Avimelech, Espashev. Tes Amud Aleph went back to Rashi. 6 lines to the bottom. That, what do we say? Hagoy, Gam Tzadik, a nation who's ultra righteous, me, I'm righteous, targeting and kill it. So we're actually saying, Kosolka Daito, we think, Shahidullah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to him. Amma, what do we see? Honest, he's considered to be honest. Ami Malach and Aina. Tamar says, no, look further in the Pasuk. Hashem is telling him that you really, you're responsible. He says, because of the Hallelujah. Says, why Haidullah's bar? Hashem did not agree to him that he's an Aynas, he's off the hook. Shahashullah Chuba, Hashem answered him, Shechayim Misa, he is Chayim Misa. The Eno Tzadik with him, he's not righteous. Why? Shahalah Limo Derech Haaretz. He should have learned Derech Haaretz, because the fire spells like we learn later on. But Derech Haaretz is when a guy comes to this town, you ask him about his food and drink, you don't ask about his wife, because asking about his wife, you're pushing him against the wall and making him say, it's my sister. So that was your Derech Haaretz. But a Kanalan Skanas and Gemara comes out, that someone who's Amr Motor, we have a proof to Rabba that you considered a Mason. So according to this, well, let's see the Gemara further. So according to this, Mikatz, we see from here, She Ben Nayah Neharat, that a Ben Nayah, let's see the guy who's a Ben Nayah, he, if he killed somebody, even though he didn't know about it, Amr Motor, Neharat, he gets killed, why? Shahala Lomad Veloilah, he should have learned and he didn't learn. So our host had a question. This guy, the Ben Nayah, he didn't know, he, that you're not allowed to kill. He never knew. They never, they told him he's supposed to kill people. He never knew you're not allowed to kill. So is that amazing or is that a shaykh? So according to Maskar and Gemara, it comes out amazing. That it's amazing. Right? That it's amazing. Someone who thinks you're allowed to kill, and that's how they kill, you're amazing. Why are you amazing? Because you should have learned. You're right in your action, your shaykh is a mistake. But you're amazing in the fact that you should have learned.
Does this answer all the other questions that we had? Somebody thought it was an animal, kills a person, somebody thought it was a Kanani, kills a Ger Toshev. Does this come and answer what the halacha is?
All the cases.
It's all problematic.
Sounds like, because the more I compared all of them, yeah.
But for the price, I was saying, for the other cases that Rav Hista and Rava had an argument for, the cases at all. Thought it was a person, I thought it was an animal, killed a person, thought it was a Kanani, killed a Yerkosha, all those cases. Sounds like it, it's amazing.
That's what it sounds like.
It sounds like it, yeah, that's what this is coming to do. It's coming to backfill all that.
We're in the same sugya. We're trying to figure it out. We said, what's the halacha? Right, all these cases. It's all one type of case. The main thing is you should have learned that you didn't know better.
Right.
It's all the same thing. You should have, Rashi says, what does Rashi say? Rashi says, but if you look at Rashi, Kasara Behema, like 12, 13 lines on Testament Aleph. What did Rashi says? That's all one sugya. Look at Rashi, Testament Aleph. Rashi says, Harezek Aimer Mutter. If you thought it was an animal, it's like thinking that you're allowed to kill somebody.
Because
you compare it right. You should have learned. But Absar Halalayin, you should have looked into the matter. Right? The whole point is that if you could have looked into something better, and you didn't look into it better, you considered it amazing or Aynas. So when it comes out, then, like Rava, you considered a amazing. So if you're shooting, you thought you're shooting an animal, you shoot a person, you're amazing.
And case is a little bit different.
That's the same case.
You should look into it better.
You should have learned Derech Haaretz better. You should have learned Halachos Derech Haaretz better. That's what we're saying. You should have looked in. It's always the same thing. You should have delved into the matter. You either should have learned Hilchas Derech Haaretz, you should have learned the same thing. You should have not killed people. Also, not killing people. It's the Hilchas Derech Haaretz.
Right.
That's what it is. Hilchas Derech Haaretz. Don't shoot them. The point is that a person, like Quentin's Torah, is coming out a very strong thing. A person who could have delved into something more, they didn't delve into it, then they're Chayiv. It's pretty strong, according to Rabbi.
A person Chayiv on many.
According to Rava, if a person gets, then another halacha is called Tidush Nishba, which means even if you would have delved into it, doesn't mean you would have not known it's Aser. If a person is in a situation that they think that it's a very good thing to watch movies. It keeps you busy. It's entertaining. If you look into it, ask everybody around you, they tell you, yeah, it's a great thing to watch movies. It's a very good thing to spend time, and yeah, you learn a lot of stuff, and you can learn languages. Yeah, if you don't speak English, you learn English. People tell you the very good thing. So then the Rambam says, you're a tinnik shenishba. You're a tinnik that was like a tinnik that was captured. So then you're not responsible. I mean, the Pesukim can say most people these days are Allah have a tinnik shenishba. Like a child who was captured. I mean, most people who aren't religious, even if they would ask, and don't tell them there's anything wrong, tell them it's a mitzvah, it's good, spend time, eat popcorn, watch the movies, it's a good thing to do. They tell you it's a good thing to do. So that's a tinnik shenishba. It's not an amr mutter. Amr mutter is, if you could have looked into it, you would have went to a normal place. It would have told you, that's, then you're chayiv. It's very different. Tinnik shenishba and amr mutter. If a person grew up as a child, and they tell him everything is good, it's good to eat, you know, ham, breakfast, healthy, it's good protein.
Even for tinnik shenishba, it sounds wonderful, but in today's day and age, I got to tell you.
Depends. In Eretz Yisrael, they say it's not so much tinnik shenishba. In America, it is. And it's not, because
eventually, a person always has, a person's born Jewish.
He knows he's Jewish.
Fine. Doesn't look at anything Jewish. Fine. Doesn't look at anything. But he sees people walking to shul and this and that. He never looks into it.
It's a question.
I'm not saying everybody's a Tinnik Shenishba. They say the Pesukim say something.
Look at Rav Dor, for example, where he grew up and what his family's education, what they gave him, and where he was. Yep. Hashem, I didn't grow up that way.
But
most people today are Tinnik Shenishba. Most people today, to a big extent.
Even myself.
I can't really judge.
That's the worst Torah that he knows.
I'm not saying anything about it here. Read Nal Kassim, sorry about it. Yeah, tomorrow we're going to start the new Mishnah, the new fire. The new Shlishi.
Kitov,
twice Kitov, buddy.
Make a siyum on the beginning of Machot. On Makot, the first parak. Then we finished earlier. Why is it special for us? So it's special for us because, as Rav Hashem, we went through it ourselves from the Daf with the Rashis and learned Pshat according to Rashi, which isn't always the same as learning Pshat according to, for example, Old School or any other translations. With Rashi, we have been learning that Rashi is amazingly deep and amazingly special, and to spend time learning what Rashi is actually trying to tell you is huge. Rav Abraham's Gemara filled all down the sides, rubbed out and filled again several times just on the explanation of a Rashi. So the Art Scroll, for example, can't contain all that. It's got a footnote, and it gives you three. It says, this is the view of Rashi, and it gives you like a little sentence. The next, giving you all of the amazing things that got there, which is, so to do that, it's taken us, it's taken us until this point to get through the first parak, just with that. The Rizwat Hashem, for us, is a big thing. We're very happy with it. And I want to share our joy with you, and to give ourselves continued motivation by doing a seer on what we've learned, which is also important for each person to recognize that what they've achieved, wherever each of us is holding, for whatever we managed to achieve. It's very good to do a seer to strengthen ourselves, to give ourselves chizuk, to continue, to appreciate ourselves.
Okay.
couldn't say anything better myself, so that's it.
And in addition,
thank you, Hashem.
Amen, yes. Thank you to my life.
For me, it was very special. It was a journey. We worked hard, and it's important to celebrate. We should have simcha from things like Torah and Tefillah mitzvahs, as opposed to simcha that we received outside of the realm of Kedusha. We should acknowledge that and build on it and celebrate it, because that's where our simcha should come from, and we should make an effort to in that area. For me, this is very special because this is the first Masechta that I learned inside. Other Masechtas that I've seen and other things are either somebody telling me outside or art school, this and that, but this is the first Perek that I, me and my Harusa both, right, have put an effort ourselves and a lot of effort to learn the way Chazal wants us to learn. Everything that you said is amazing. I can't say anything on top of that. But thank you for my Harusa for dedicated effort and consistent putting up with me.
Please.